on 1116 SEN. Chasing Birdies with Mark Allen and Craig Spence for the Callaway Chrome Soft Golf Ball, the ball that changed the ball. And X-Golf, Melbourne's own virtual golf centre, High Street, Melbourne.
The ball's an absolute ripper, the Callaway Chrome Soft. Get out there and get yourself just a little sleeve, a little three-pack, and try it out next time you play. Like the commercial says, it's the ball that's changed the ball. I'm a user, and I absolutely love it. The 99 Masters champ is right across the table. Marco, Craig Spence, good to see
you,
bud.
Good to see you, gentlemen, tonight. Marco, did you play today?
Yeah, I did.
Where?
Kingston Heath.
How'd you shoot?
Shot 36 points off plus two.
Two under, or did
two
you
under.
Just...
No, two under. Two under. Five under the last 10. Not too bad.
Imagine being able to do that. Just get up in the morning.
Yeah.
Not you. You can do it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the mortals. Just go out to Kingston Heath and shoot two under.
I am loving golf at the moment, Finny. Absolutely loving golf. You Once a week's great.
You don't overthink it anymore, do you?
No, I do. I'm onto something at the moment. I've got the secret. I've got the secret to golf.
Do you swing the club in front of a mirror? This is an interesting subject.
There you go.
Only golfers behave like this. Do you swing the club in front of a mirror nearly every day? In front of a reflection every day of the year?
No. When I'm playing, I use the shadow a lot just to have a look. But the silly stuff I do, any elevator I'm in by myself, I'm swinging air clubs. I'm swinging the air club in every elevator I've been in for the last 30 years.
I swing a club every day of the year.
Yeah.
And when I go somewhere where I don't have a golf club, I'll find something that resembles a golf club, and I'll swing it.
What, like what? A pen?
Like
broom?
Like a stick.
Just a stick.
If I go hitchhiking, I'll find a stick along the way and do some swings at some point.
You know what we need?
You need to get...
a life?
Get, that's exactly...
No.
Hey, have we got a life out there?
No.
The prize?
No. Yeah, they got stress balls, right? Stress balls?
Yeah.
Why can't we make a little club that feels like a club? And so you can swing it indoors. So it's actually a grip. It's only about,
they're out there.
It's only about 40 centimetres long.
Yeah, they're out there, Marco.
And, you've got a real grip. It feels like it's been swing weighted right, sort of.
Yes, they're out there.
And you can swing that little club to your heart's delight in the office. I think that'd be a seller.
Fast forward, Shark Tank, about 6 months.
Right.
What?
Mark Allen. The Shark Tank, where you present your business ideas to these business people. Mark Allen has got the mini club stress reliever.
Yes, the boredom killer.
But I still wouldn't. Would you take that with you if you were going to go hiking?
I tell you what,
hiking.
He wouldn't have is anybody on the Shark Tank going with him. Look, I'm going to have to politely decline.
But it needs a hook. And if we could get that little golf club...
If it had a hook, you could use it as a fishing
with ball. Like a back scratcher or something as well, so it had dual purposes.
Dual purpose.
And so that, not only can you swing it indoors and it feels like a golf club, it's only small so you won't hit the roof.
Okay.
But you can also scratch your back.
I think
that's a winner.
How about if on the other end, if you had like a knife and a corkscrew and a bottle opener?
Uh-huh.
The Swiss Army Golf Club.
Yeah, the Swiss true. Army yeah, Stress yeah, Relieving Golf
work.
Club.
That would work. Is there another sport? Is there any other sport where they would do it? Where they would do anything like it?
No. I don't think so.
Like
I don't
bowlers,
think
you... bowlers don't practice their leggies, do
no,
they?
No, they don't.
I mean, maybe occasionally, but
have
not every day.
Have you seen tennis players practicing forehands and backhands with an air racket?
In the supermarket.
Yeah, have you seen that?
Do you swing
basketballers taking fake free throws?
Never seen it.
Never seen it.
Never seen that.
Table
ever.
Tennis players.
Yeah. Actually, if you've got
volleyball
swimmers
diving.
Volleyball players just jumping in the air, blocking.
If you've got a favourite place that you swing the air golf club, 9429 1116, you can let us know. We can talk about all kinds of things.
Well, Daz has SMS through. He said he used to take practice swings in the shower, and his wife walked in one day and said, "What on earth are you doing?" And he said, "I think it might rain today, so I'm just getting my swing."
I thought she was going to say, "Get that club out of your hand." That's
not club, baby.
Hey, Jack Nicklaus today. Yeah, we love him. Everyone loves Jack Nicklaus with the high squeaky voice.
He's the best.
Hey, Jack Nicklaus won the Congressional Gold Medal, the highest U.S. citizen's honour
today.
Third golfer to do so. I haven't looked him up, but I would say...
I know who one of the others would be.
Arnold Palmer?
Yeah.
Bobby Jones?
Yeah, you'd have to go with Bobby.
Who else would be there? We'll look it up. But if you know, text him
Hogan.
Hogan. If you
Hogan.
Know what I'm
Hogan.
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 Did make a big comeback after the car crash.
Nah, yeah. He would have. He wouldn't have. He wasn't quite on the. Bobby Jones was pretty big news.
Couple of ticker tape.
Yep.
Parades for Bobby. Garner Palmer is just the king, and you would think that the other one's three.
What was the deal with Jack. Bobby Jones? Why did he get
Lanny
so
Watkins,
much love?
I think the other one's Lanny Watkins.
What's that?
Lanny Watkins.
Lanny Watkins.
Watkins, yeah.
With that dopey action?
Yeah.
No
yeah.
way.
I told you what he did to me, didn't you? Didn't
Lanny
I?
Watkins?
Yeah.
What did he do to you?
I'm the only guy on a putting green at the Houston Open.
You're the only one
I'm
there.
I'm putting to the hole from 4 feet away.
Yeah.
And he steps over my line as the ball's rolling to the hole.
You're the only one on
only
the green.
Only guy on the green.
How big was the green?
Plenty.
40 metres long and 50 metres wide.
Did he say anything to you?
What did he do that for?
Exactly.
What did he say to you?
Nothing at all. Didn't even look back. Just kept walking past me and walked to the first tee.
Lanny Watkins.
What did he win?
Lanny Watkins.
Won a PGA? Didn't win an Open, did he? Won a PGA? That's it.
Yeah, he
I'm
lost
guessing,
me.
I'm
he
guessing.
Lost me.
Won the most boring git on the US PGA Tour 4 years in a row.
What do you think he was trying to say?
Yeah. Ryder Cup captain.
What was he trying to say to me, do you think? It was pretty obvious, isn't
Go
it?
Go home, Arsie.
Yes, I reckon he might have been saying... Hey,
country boy.
Aren't you supposed to be carrying the bag, not putting on the green? Do you think you were a caddy, maybe?
I don't know. I've never forgiven him for that. And I was very
Why
happy when
you?
He got the sack from CBS because he was rubbish.
Do you know what he was saying? I think this place is restricted.
Hey, speaking of caddies.
Yes.
Well, Ben Crenshaw's playing his last ever US Masters, but so is his caddy, Carl.
Oh, really?
Big Carl.
Because I think Ben Crenshaw uses a club caddy and always has. I think that's the way that Ben does it.
Carl. Carl Jackson. Yeah. Say Carl.
Carl.
He won one 20 years ago, Ben Crenshaw. I saw that the other day. 30 years ago, Langer. 20 years ago.
Good segue.
Yeah, to what?
Great segue.
To what?
Did you see Matt Jones putting on the weekend? Speaking of Ben Crenshaw, the great putter.
Oh, well, he held a few snakes.
He held some of the longest putts.
Snakes.
He held some ginormous. Now,
he did.
They were the sort of things Lanny would have stepped on the line of because it was the entire group.
Hey, tonight in the program, we're going to hear from Darius Oliver. People have been tweeting photos of Cape Wickham down there in King Island. We know Ocean Dunes is going as well. Darius Oliver. You know, if you go to his website, Planet Golf, he's got his own top 100. It's a really good top 100. It's the way it should be done, too, with just one person giving their thoughts on the world's golf courses instead of a group of people and trying to work it out. So we're going to speak to Darius Oliver about the courses down at King Island. But pretty soon also, I've cut together just Jack Nicklaus speaking today.
Yep.
And also, I think Kelly Tillman from the Golf Channel interviews him. And you hear from Jackie Nicklaus as well, who was caddying for him at the 86
at
Masters,
the
which is
one.
An absolute ripper. I'm going to get your best memory of 86 in a tick. Dom in Blackburn's called in, though. G'day, Dom.
Hey,
Dom.
G'day, fellas. Look, I've got a ripper. If you want to, when you practice indoor, if you've got no club, get yourself a Maglite torch, some alignment sticks. Then turn the torch on, as long as it's got a fine beam. Mm. And as the torch will shine, it'll tell you if you're on plane.
Mm.
And the same thing when you do your downswing, where the light's showing, if it lines up with your alignment sticks, then you're on plane.
I like
Fantastic
that,
Fantastic stuff. Didn't they used to have like a lightsaber? It was like a Star Wars thing. It had one from one end and one from the other end. Yeah. And when you went back up, you had the dual action beam going on the backswing if you really wanted to get stupid about your golf action.
That was the handle end had the laser coming out of it.
Yeah, one going both ways.
That had to sort of point at your ball line, didn't it? Yeah, your target line.
Yeah. So it's all that stuff. It's good feedback, but it doesn't have the back scratcher. So it's I'm not sure it's going to be too practical.
So you think it needs more than one
use?
One usefulness.
I mean, it needs a back scratching part, and it also needs a bottle opener, so you can just rip a bottle open and have a few swings while you're sucking on a beer.
I like it.
Thanks, Dom. Paul's in Mount Waverley. G'day, Paul.
G'day, fellas. How you going?
Yeah, good, Paul.
Good, Paul.
Yeah, I'm not a golfer. I play once or twice a year, but I thought it was funny when you started talking about practicing in elevators and things, because my boss is actually an ex-pro.
Yeah.
And he comes down and works with me quite regularly, and we stop the car and get out of the car, and I'm in the boot getting stuff out to go in to do a sales call, and he's standing on the side of the road doing these air swings.
Yeah.
he does them all day, every day. And I thought it was just him being a weirdo, but it sounds like all you ex-pros are all the same.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, my dad told me off once. I was making a swing in a shopping centre.
Yep.
And he said, "What the hell are you doing, you idiot?" And he made me really feel bad.
He embarrassed you?
He embarrassed me, yeah,
Did you go red?
No, I kept swinging.
You kept swinging?
Well, I was onto something. Right elbow was just popping out a little bit.
Were you, would you do whatever your old man didn't want you to do just to upset him? Or
no,
did
no,
you...
I a lot of respect for Gezza. Yeah? A lot of respect for Gez, whatever he said went. Yeah,
well, I remember when we lived together.
Yeah.
You used to swing the club upstairs at 29 Old Eastern Court.
Oh, given the yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we did.
You and Pete, your brother,
yeah.
Every night. And yeah. Every night you'd say, I've got it.
I've got it.
Yeah.
Got every the night. Answer. I've got the answer.
And then one day I found myself doing that and realised I was in trouble.
Yeah, that's when you left. That's when you walked out. Yeah. Hey, we're going to speak with Darius Oliver coming up next, but I want everyone to have a listen to Jack Nicklaus winning the Congressional Gold Medal. It's the highest US citizen's honour. You got a bit teary, and a big thanks to the Golf Channel and Kelly Tillman. You're also going to hear Jackie Nicklaus as well, his son.
Jackie was so good today. And I just, I knew it was going to be a tough day when they came in and they start playing the national anthem, and I start having tears running down my face, and next to John Boehner, who had the tears running down his face, I knew we were in trouble.
The Ohio State marching band will help
Ohio
that
State
along.
Marching band was terrific, and they played our alma mater, which was Carmen, Ohio, and so you know the whole thing was just terrific.
You referenced it. Jackie Jr. told such a touching story of your moment on the 18th green at the 86th Masters when you won your last major championship. He also expressed what a great father and grandfather you are, that you've never missed an important family function. Conversely,
well,
what did it mean to you to have all of them here with you
fantastic.
Today?
Oh, fantastic. Well, first of all, I don't remember the moment at the 18th because, it just happened. It wasn't anything I orchestrated. And Jackie was there, turned around, and he said, all of a sudden, I gave him a big hug, and he was like, that was just naturally what I thought I would do anyway. I didn't even think about it. But he didn't think it would be about him. And so that was nice. And, yeah, I had all our grandkids and all our kids were here. And it was pretty neat. Not many times they get together. We get together, might get together once or twice a year. But usually it's not all at the same exact time, and usually one or two missing. But today everybody was here. That was just fabulous. Jackie spoke just unbelievably. I got so emotional listening to him. I said he wouldn't let anybody talk to him about his speech and what he wanted to do and what he wanted to say. I knew for the last couple of weeks. Every time I look in his office, he's in there writing something. And I said, gosh, he must be really putting something together.
So sweet. You remind us often, as you did today in your acceptance speech, that you're just a golfer. But everyone knows you're more than that. You're a great family man, as that story was told over and over again in that ceremony. And you're a wonderful philanthropist. In the end, Jack, what do you want your legacy to be?
Well, Kelly, I did my speech around the theme that I just played golf. Anything that happened to me became because I played golf. It's a great game. It's an unbelievable game that we all love. It brings so many people together. It brings so many cultures together. It brings so many countries together. And I love that about the game of golf. As far as my legacy, my own legacy that I'm concerned about is that my kids, my grandkids, that they got to know people and loved him, and because he loves them. And that to me is the most important thing of all.
People.
Barbara's Mimi, and I'm people.
You may have heard the saying, it brings the house down. Well, today, that speech that Jack kept referencing from his son, Jack Jr., brought the House and the Senate down and everyone in the U.S. Capitol building. It was quite the scene. There were barely dry eyes in the House. Jack Jr., I caught up with him after the ceremony at the reception and asked him how long it took him to write that speech. And he said, when my dad found out he was getting the Congressional Gold Medal, he asked me to speak. I said, Dad, I don't know if I'm the right guy, but he wrote a speech and it took him 3 months to write it.
Waiting for me with the most wonderful smile. His arms were outstretched to embrace me. Dad had made me a part of it. I knew I had Dad's full focus. I felt like I mattered, and I felt loved. That is what it's like to be his son.
I've dodged for years the question about what victory is the most important or most memorable. Yet I don't know if I've ever had a more important victory or more memorable one than when Barbara Jean Bash became Barbara Nicholas on July 3rd, 1960.
On 1116 SEN, Chasing Birdies with Mark Allen and Craig Spence for the Callaway Chrome Soft Golf Ball, the ball that changed the ball. And X-Golf, Melbourne's own virtual golf centre, High Street, Melbourne.
Get on this Chrome Soft Golf Ball. I'm telling you, folks, it is an absolute beauty. Compression about 65, ball flies, short irons go longer. You're going to absolutely love it, especially with the longer clubs. It doesn't spin too much, Craig. It's like you're hitting flies with the long clubs. Who would have thought?
Ooh.
65 compression. Flies. And the best bit, if you remember the old Ballada ball,
yeah,
it kind of feels like you're putting with the Ballada ball. It feels like you're chipping with the Ballada ball.
Okay.
You'll love it. We're going to get the Darius Oliver very, very soon. But people have been texting through their ideas about air swinging a golf club.
I wanted to read one which was from Dazza, one of my favourite texts ever since I've been doing the show.
Right, this is it, is it?
During a game, I witnessed a moron swing to the top of his backswing, stop, then, keeping his hands in place, he contorted his body behind his own hands to see where the club was pointing. Right? So he's tried to hold his hands in position and then sneak around and have a look, right? Do you think you might have moved or, moved
could have
the
been
club
an accuracy slightly? Issue there, yep. I would have thought. Anything else, Kochai, that you can read
I liked
out?
Old mate. I liked old mate.
Yeah,
Andy from Croydon.
What's he know?
Who said, I nude up daily and practice my forward defense with my SS jumbo in front of the mirror.
Nude up with the SS jumbo.
With the bat in front of the
that's not exactly
the mirror.
Air swinging.
Defensive.
I like what he's doing.
Defensive
though.
Stroke making.
Whatever makes you happy.
Yeah.
And did you say Trout's on the way home from banner making?
Yeah, he's been banner making, Trout from Woodend.
Right,
so
on.
He said, bring him home, boys.
Right, yeah.
So we'll try our best,
good
Trout.
Good on you, Trout. Good on you, Trout. Now, I'm not sure how closely you follow Twitter, but there are pictures being sent all over the joint of the new Cape Wickham Golf Club, a golf course down on King Island. There's a few down there, Ocean Dunes as well. I heard rumours that perhaps Greg Norman was going to build one as well, but
ooh.
I don't know about that last bit, but I certainly heard that maybe there's one on the way. Darius Oliver from planetgolf.com, go and have a look at his website. It's an absolute ripper, and I love his top 100. I want to talk to him about that as well. G'day, Darius.
G'day, Mark. How are you? Great to be with you.
Good on you, Darius. Appreciate it. Tell us about Cape Wickham. Keep on seeing these photos. I've heard a few people have been down there, but they reckon it's an absolute ball terror.
Well, you've sort of given me a new marketing line, actually, because I would now describe it as the perfect place to swing an imaginary golf club. I mean, it's absolutely spectacular. And while we were building it, you know, you'd be standing there and the sun's beaming and the ocean's there and you're just standing in sand. And, yeah, I mean, we must have hit hundreds of thousands, if not thousands, of actual shots on the sand. But even more than that, just imaginary swings. And now that it's actually open, or it's open for preview and you're seeing people play it, and their reaction to the site and their reaction to the golf course is, you know, as we'd hoped. It's very exciting. I mean, I've seen, as you know, a lot of golf courses around the world, and this is the most spectacular. So, yeah, it's been very exciting.
Were you there right from the start, Darius, and saw it evolve?
Yeah. I mean, I first saw the site in 2011, and I really became involved around that time because there was a plan in place to build a golf course on private land right underneath the lighthouse at Wickham, which is the tallest lighthouse in Australia. It's magnificent. But the private land overlooks probably the greatest piece of golf land I'll ever see. I mean, this place is incredible, but it's Crown land. So I became involved initially as a consultant and then eventually as a co-designer with Mike DeVries. And our first job was really to convince the Tasmanian authorities that, you know, if they let us build a golf course, if they give us a lease on Crown land and let us build this golf course right on the ocean, it will be, you know, an incredible thing for King Island in terms of jobs and tourism and all those great things. And that took some time, but yeah, it was well worth the effort because, you know, the golf course is pretty amazing.
Darius, Craig Spence here. I'm interested to know about King Island because not many people would have been to King Island, either would have flown over the top of it one way or another. How big is it, and what sort of impact, or how many golf courses do you think will be on the island one day, Darius?
Well, it's a good question. The island itself is about an hour in the car from north to south, and much shorter, probably a 20-25 minute max east to west. But interestingly, Mark mentioned there was a talk of another golf course down on the island. That was actually right down the southern tip. We're on the northern tip. Mm. And between the town, the main township and our site, there are just dozens upon dozens of sites where you could build a great golf course. But there is only one Cape Wickham. And Cape Wickham's got a very unique coastline in terms of the way, you know, you've got a little bit of the Pebble Beach, nine holes sort of on the ocean, the rest of them big in through big dunes. You've got a lighthouse. You've got a north-facing beach, which is quite amazing. You've got this rocky headland out to the western side as well. So all those elements, you'll get great land. You know, dare I say, you get sort of Mornington Peninsula Cups Country land elsewhere on the island. But at the northern and southern tips, you get these incredible beaches and beautiful rocky coastline. So, but I'm very passionate. I mean, I've spent more than 200 days of my life down there. It's been a massive project. And you ask about King Island, and it's a place, you know, we know the cheese and the beef and the seafood, but not many people visit. They get about 6,000 or 7,000 visitors only per year. The population's around a third what it was at its peak. It is quite a depressed place in some ways. Mm. And this could do golf in general, not just Wickham, but it could do great things for the island and for the local farmers and for the local industries. And it's a fantastic place to visit.
Is this your first design? Pardon my ignorance here, Darius. Have you been involved in other designs before?
No, I mean, I've been involved as a consultant on several projects, and never really, not to this degree. And the intention wasn't to be as heavily involved in design as I ended up being, but really just spending so much time down there and getting so involved, and it just basically naturally evolved that way that Mike and I did it together. So, but it was fantastic, great experience.
Tell me this, Darius, how many holes get a good view of like a real close view of that coastline?
Well, more than any course you'll ever play, Mark. And it's you can see it from every hole. The only hole where you don't really feel the ocean is number 8, which is a fantastic hole through a deep valley. But from the tee, you've got about a 270-degree view of the ocean. It just happens to be behind you. But eight holes are directly on the ocean. And then you have number 10, which is going to be on the front cover of magazines and books, no questions. One of the most spectacular holes. Crashes down towards the beach, towards the rocks in much the same way as the 5th at New South. And then the 15th, which is the hole that's closest to Lighthouse, again, it kind of curves down and the green ends up right above the coastline. So 8 holes directly on the ocean, 2 other greens that end on the coast, and then a bunch of tees that are there as well. So it's ever present.
Darius, off the SMS, a good question came in. How much land was moved in order to design it? Was it fairly much
minimalist?
Minimalist, as I'm sure you're a bit of a fan of?
Well, yes, it is, absolutely. Although that term can be a little bit misleading. I mean, some minimalists move a lot of earth, and some minimalists should move more earth than they do in order to get better results sometimes. But I could talk to you all night about this project, because one of the unique things about it is there's a mutton bird colony, and mutton birds are protected under international treaties with Japan and by national environmental regulations. So on the site, we had to disturb. We didn't kill any birds, but we had to disturb some burrows, and these birds came back and relocated elsewhere. But the issue with that is we had to strip a lot more vegetation than we thought, than we would have ideally liked to have done. So, you know, we didn't move earth, but we did move material off the site. So when the birds came back, it was just sand, and they would go find somewhere else. But in terms of a number, it's not like one of those projects where you say we moved 750,000 cubic meters or anything like that. This was all done pushing sand around in a localized area. And that's the thing about, you know, I think the thing that we've discovered in the last couple of weeks as groups have been down there that we're most pleased about is when people see photographs of it, I'm sure the reaction is, well, that looks spectacular, can't be that good. And it's not so much that the golf course is that good, it's just that it's a proper walkable, if anyone's played Old Hitting Island or some of the golf courses, like there's a place called Pinnacle Point in South Africa, a lot of golf courses on the ocean or Thracian cliffs in Bulgaria take a great photo, but they aren't necessarily a proper walkable golf course. Well, this one just flows so easy from green to tee. It's not a hard walk. I mean, I played it a couple of weeks ago in about 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's not, you know, you walk off 18 green and you're not really exhausted. It doesn't torture you like some of the courses on the Mornington Peninsula either. So it's, yeah, it's a proper walkable golf course, just happens to be in a really spectacular site.
And is it one of those golf courses, Darius, and I've got my fingers crossed here, that you stand on the tees and you've got your hand on the driver, the three with the two iron and the three iron all at once? Is it one of those?
Yeah. I mean, that's my view on golf is very simple, that if you make the hole, if you make it obvious, if it's a driver hole and you pull your driver out, you hit your shot, there's a degree of comfort in that. When you hit a shot, when you grab a driver, but you hesitate for a moment because you ask yourself whether it's the right club, you've all of a sudden you've planted a seed of doubt, and that shot becomes more difficult. And it's funny, the one hole at the moment that you can't really appreciate is the 12th, because it was the last hole grass, had a bit of trouble with the fairway, so at the moment it's preferred lies and the ball's not running. But I think it's one of the great drivable par fours in golf, because it's very short, and if you hit it downwind with, say, a three wood, you only have to hit it in the neck of the fairway and the ball bounces towards the green, but you've got a huge, enormous 60-metre wide fairway for the layup shot,
right?
And the green's perched out on a cliff. So you either hit a simple layup and then a wedge on the really dangerous green, or you pull out your driver or three wood and try and bust it up there. And,
I love it.
Yeah, there's plenty of that sort of stuff.
Darius, what's the cost for playing the golf course? Or are you looking for memberships one day?
How's it going to run? It's definitely the pay-for-play model. I mean, at the moment we're getting the accommodation organised, which should be up and running by the end of October when the course opens. The course is going to open Melbourne Cup weekend. So it will be, and the prices, the green fees during the preview round are not going to be the same green fees as when it opens properly. But you're looking at probably the 140, 150 mark, maybe a little bit more than that if you want to play all day. So it's not going to be super expensive, but it's certainly going to be more than, you know, Duncan Andrews, the developer, his other courses, Dunes and 13th Beach.
Darius, finally, I've got your Planet Golf World 100 up. Go to planetgolf.com. It's an absolute, it's a treat if you love the game, if you're curious about the golf courses and all that kind of stuff. I love your theory. I think it makes sense. One person's view on the top 100. I did a top 100 for Golf Australia once, and they were asking me to rate courses I hadn't seen for 20 years and all this kind of rubbish. I didn't like it. I ended up pulling the plug. So it didn't make sense to me. But your top 100, I'm interested. Where's this one going to slip into? Because you sound pretty excited.
It's a very tough question, and all those nice things you said about my ranking list are appreciated, but may not be relevant in a short period of time when I do slot it up quite high and then get accused of being on the take or corrupt or connected or whatever it is. But no, look, my view on golf is very simply that golf courses, just like golf holes, are either poor, good, very good, great, or in a very rare group of courses, world-class. And by that I mean any definition. Any golfer stands on the tee at Ballybunion or Dornoch or St Sandhills or Royal County Down and identifies them as outstanding. And I genuinely think Wickham's in that bracket, but it's not for me to decide. I mean, I really have to put my faith in other people and sit back and take whatever comments and criticisms and accolades, etc., come the way of the golf course. And I've said this a lot of times, it's not really about us, it's about the site. When you get down there, the greatest compliment anyone could pay us is that we just didn't screw it up. There might be some greens, there might be some holes, some tee locations that people disagree with, but I think by and large, as long as we didn't stuff up this unbelievable site, which we had nothing to do with, you know, Mother Nature created it, as long as we didn't stuff it up, I think it's clearly in that upper bracket.
What's the best website for punters to jump on and have a quick look?
Well, if they go to Cape Wickham, as in Tracy Wickham, capewickham.com.au, that's got all the information. It's got a whole tour. We've also just put up a photo gallery. So those photos you were talking about on Twitter are all on that site.
Beautiful.
And there are, and we had a group of Golf Digest raiders came down on Friday, and they all said the same thing that I've been saying for about 3 years, and that is no matter how good the photograph is, it doesn't quite do the site justice. So, when it opens October 30, anyone who's keen on their golf really should try and make an effort and get down there, because it's a tough place to get to in some ways. It's an expensive place to get to, but we think it's well worth it.
I can hear the excitement in your voice, Darius. We're all excited, actually. When you see the photos, it looks magnificent. Thanks again, and I try to get everybody to get to planetgolf.com. It's a fantastic website. Thanks, Darius.
I appreciate it. Pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
Good on you, Darius Oliver there. Respected voice in the world of Australian golf.